Good morning. Welcome to Harvest Bible Chapel. My name is Pastor Micah, and so glad that you're worshiping with us today. As Chris said earlier, if you're a guest with us here today, we are especially happy that you're here. And if we can help you or serve you in any way, please let us know. We'd love to do that. You kind of came on a little bit of an unusual Sunday, if this is maybe your first time. We're starting a new project today for Christmas called Harvest Gives. And so we're going to be looking at God's Word on what it says about giving and generosity to help us prepare for this project. And so normally here at Harvest, we pick a passage, a chapter or a paragraph or some verses, and we just kind of walk through it word by word, verse by verse, down through the passage. What does it say? How do I do this? What does it apply to my life? We're not going to do that today. How many times have we done this since we've launched? Never, right? Like it's always. But today with giving, it's a little bit different because the Bible has a lot to say about our giving and our finances and our generosity, but it tends to say it in little snippets throughout different places in the Bible. And one of the books that talks about it a lot is the book of Proverbs. So today, instead of walking through an entire proverb, which has about 10 different topics in it, we're going to grab a few verses throughout Proverbs that are on the topic of giving to help us understand how we can come into this Christmas season with a generous heart. Okay, so if you got your Bibles, go ahead and grab that. We're going to be in the book of Proverbs today. You can go ahead and turn there. If you don't have a Bible with you, there should be a hardback black one there somewhere on the floor around you. You can borrow one of those. We'd love for you to do that and follow along with us this morning. You can go to Proverbs chapter 11 as we're getting started here, okay? And so as you're turning there, I kind of expressed last week, if you were here last week, that I'm really not a big fan of the Christmas decorations and the Christmas carols and all that kind of stuff before we get to do Turkey Day, all right? Like, that's just kind of the way it rolls at our house. I don't know how it works at your house, but, like, we're team turkey all the way, and so, like, you got to wait until after. But we don't have that luxury because, like I said, we're preparing for a project that we want to bless some people this Christmas, so we got to do a jump start just a little bit today. We're going to do one little thing here, and then we'll come back to Thanksgiving next week before we jump into Christmas in December, okay? So that's kind of what's happening today, and as we're getting ready for this, I found this quote this week from a gal named Amy Carmichael. She was actually a missionary for a while in India. I thought this was really great. She said, you can always give without loving, but you can't love without giving. You can always give without loving, but you can't love without giving. And I think that's true. I think those of us who are family, you know, we have, whether it be kids or whether we have brothers and sisters or parents or whatever, like when you love someone, you want to give to them, right? You want to bless them at times. We went Christmas shopping just yesterday for a little bit for our girls, and we were racking up on stuff, and we kind of have a rule in our house that we're going to give a certain amount of gifts and a certain, and I break that every year. Like, we're just like, we just got to, like, put some more stuff in the cart, and, like, they need this, and they need that, and because you love them, and you want to give, right? That's what we're talking about this morning, and if I was trying to give to my children or to whoever because my wife was making me or because I felt some social obligation or because, you know, there was somebody twisting my arm to do it, that wouldn't really be giving, right? Because it's not out of love. It's out of obligation. It's out of I have to do this for whatever reason. And the Bible here today is going to show us that God doesn't want giving like that. He wants giving out of love and out of a generous heart because God himself loves and gives out of a generous heart. We have a God that's loving and generous to us in so, so many ways. And he truly loves when his people reflect that generosity. So here's kind of what we're going to be circling around today. How I give reveals my heart towards God. That's what I want you to see today in God's word, is that how I give reveals my heart towards God, because it ultimately comes back down to my heart towards him, towards others, and so on. So I want to start actually with a verse that's not in Proverbs. You can stay in Proverbs. I'll catch up with you in just a second. This verse will be on the screens for you. This is 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, and it says this: each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Here's the first point this morning. Giving starts with my heart. Giving starts with my heart, okay? It's a motive thing first. It says here, I love this verse, it says that he must give as he has decided. God's reminding us here that, listen, giving is a choice you make, right? It's not something that someone extracts from you or forces you to do. It's a choice that you are designed to do. When we give, quote unquote, when we give against our will or by some compulsion or by some obligation, we're basically making God into a thief. Because we're not giving because he deserves it, because we want to bless or because we love. It's because we feel like we have to, like he's taking it from us in some way. And that's not giving. I think we all know what that is. That's called taxes. Can I get an amen from anybody, right? Right? When you give against your will, that's not giving. It's somebody taking it from you. Are you tracking with me? So it says here, you should give as you've decided in your heart. And that next part, in your heart, is so important because he's pointing to the fact that, listen, it's not about the behavior. It's about the motive. It's not about the actual act of giving. It's about your heart loving and desiring to be generous. Now, I'll just put all the cards on the table this morning. Some people get really antsy and upset and kind of uptight when churches start talking about giving and money and finances and why are you doing this and why. Yeah, that's all those churches want, right? All those pastors, they just want your money and that's what it's all about. And I get that, and if you're coming in with some of that today, again, apologize you came today, but this is what it is, okay? And we love God's word, and we take every single part of it, and we lay it out there. And here it says that our giving should come from our heart. And I've heard people, you know, why do I have to give to God? Like, what does God need? He has the whole universe. Like, why do I have to give? What does he need from me? You're right. He doesn't need anything from you. In fact, he doesn't even necessarily want anything from you. What he wants is your heart. He doesn't care about the money. He doesn't care about you giving. He cares about your heart. And the way that he measures your heart and the way that he shows you the condition of your heart is through the measuring stick of generosity and giving. It reflects some things for us. And so it says here, in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. I think I've already hit that pretty well, right? Like, if it's under compulsion, it's not giving. It's somebody taking from you. And God is not just trying to take from you, right? Or if you don't feel like it's taking, then you feel like you're paying God off in some way. Some people have this thing, like if I give a certain amount each week, if I do the thing, if I give in the offering plate, then that sets me up good with God and that forgives these sins, or it sets me right on this issue, or I don't have to then go do this over here that he told me to do. I don't have to be obedient in this way because I'm being obedient here. I'm giving. That's under compulsion. It's your own compulsion, but it's still under compulsion. You are setting yourself up to pay God off in some way. That's not giving. He says, for God loves a cheerful giver. Why? Why does God love a cheerful giver? Because he's a cheerful giver. That's who he is. Right? When you look throughout Scripture, God loves to give to his people. He loves to bless his people. He is a cheerful giver. And he loves people who reflect who he is. Everything we have, the Scripture says, everything we have in life comes from God. All of it. All of it. In 1 Chronicles 29, King David says this, verse 14, he says, but who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to thus offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. King David, who had some stuff, right? Like, if you've read the story, like, the guy wasn't lacking, right? He had some stuff, and he's like, what do I have that you didn't give to me? And what is it that I get to give a little bit back to you? Right? In New Testament, you're like, that's Old Testament, Micah. That one doesn't count, right? Like, give me a New Testament verse. Okay, I got one for you. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. God is a joyful, generous, cheerful giver, and he wants his people to do the same. That's what he loves. He loves when we mimic back to him the loving generosity that he shows to us. whenever Courtney and I were younger, I can't remember if we were actually still dating or engaged, or if we were actually married at this point, but we started, we came across this nonprofit organization that we really felt was just really doing some really good work, and we're just advancing the kingdom, and was really speaking into some dark places, and helping, you know, really to just chase after God's mission for us in some ways. And so we're like, we're going to start supporting them. So we start supporting them each month financially, just giving a gift, and we did that for several years, and then several years later, it kind of came out through various things that this organization was actually doing some things that we didn't agree with and weren't really advancing the kingdom like we thought they were, and actually that they were even believing and espousing some doctrinal things that we couldn't agree with, but we had this commitment, and we were giving, and so we kind of wrestled with this, and I just found that over a course of a couple months, I became more and more resentful about the money that we were giving to this organization because I no longer believed that they were really doing what they were supposed to be doing, right? They were still doing good things. I'm not saying that they were still doing good stuff, but my heart was no longer with them. Are you tracking with me? And it became clear to me that, like, we can't keep giving to this organization because I'm no longer giving cheerfully to them. And so therefore, it doesn't count. It's not giving that honors the Lord. And so we stopped, and we picked a different organization that we felt was doing something better, and we started giving it to them, and how can we advance this over here? And we need to be giving where God has led us to give with a cheerful and joyful heart. That's what he loves. That's what he honors. How do I know? How do I know if I'm giving with a joyful heart, with a generous spirit? Here you go. I never resent what I give from my heart. That's the test. After you give it, how do you feel? Do you wish you didn't? Do you wish you had it back? Do you wish you never would have given it? If I'm giving from the heart, I never resent what I give from my heart. Even if they do it wrong, even if they mess it up, even if they take it my money, and if I'm giving unto the Lord from my heart, then I can trust him in that, and I'm good. Giving has to start with the heart. All right, now we're ready to go to Proverbs. You still in Proverbs? Everybody got your Bible still there? All right, Proverbs chapter 11, look at verse 24 with me. Verse 24 and 25. Says, one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and the one who waters will himself be watered. It's a couple really interesting verses here. Here's the second point this morning. Giving is counterintuitive in my head. Giving is counterintuitive in my head. It doesn't always make sense the way we think it should, right? Now, before I get into these verses, let me just kind of pause here for a second. I don't know what your kind of practice is in your Bible and in your Bible study time, but here at Harvest, man, we love to study God's word and to get just really dig down and deep. And so one of the great ways you can really get more out of your Bible, okay, is to write in it, right? Like, I know some of you were taught, like, that's like the Holy Bible. You don't write in the Bible, right? Like, it's okay, all right? It's not your Bible that's the holy thing. It's just the words of God that are the holy thing, all right? And so you can write in it. It's good. If you got a pen, man, underline some stuff, circle some stuff, highlight some stuff. One of the great ways you can do this is as you work through Proverbs is to make little symbols next to the verses that mean different things. So like in my Bible, next to these verses, I have a little dollar sign next to these two verses. So I know these verses are about giving. And if I'm needing to study a topic, I can just flip through my Bible and say, oh, there's a dollar sign, there's a dollar sign. There. I can look at verses about giving. Are you tracking with me? Great way to study your Bible. That's for free this morning. That wasn't even included in anything. All right, I'm just throwing it in there for you. Okay, so verses 24 and 25. 24 says, one gives freely yet grows all the richer. What? That doesn't make any sense. If I'm giving stuff away, if I'm giving, how am I getting richer? I should be getting less rich, right? Because I'm giving away. The Bible says, nope, not the way it works. And then it goes on and it says, the one who withholds what he should give only suffers want. If I'm withholding, if I'm keeping, then I have more, not less, right? I should not have want, I should have more. The Bible says, nope, not the way it works. I don't understand. Yeah, you don't understand. I don't understand because we don't think the way God thinks. That's a great place for an amen. We don't think the way God thinks. All right? That's a good thing. All right? That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Let me see what it says here. It says, one who gives freely. This is talking about giving and withholding. What does give freely even mean? What's it mean to give freely? I just wrote down four things here. You might want to make a little list, maybe on the side of your notes somewhere. How do you know if you're giving freely as the Bible tells us to do? First of all, giving freely is in heart. We've already covered that pretty substantially in the first point, right? It's in heart. Do I desire to be generous because God has been generous to me? That's the first question. If I'm giving freely, I desire in my heart to be generous because God has been generous to me. That's the first one. Second one, giving freely, do I give freely in amount? In amount. Do I always just give the minimum? Do I always just give the bare minimum I have to do to check the box and to get by and to do the thing? Or am I lavish in my giving? Am I abundant in my giving? Am I willing to go above and beyond what even is asked or required of me to give freely to others and to bless them? Do I give freely in the amount? How about, do I give freely in priority? Number three, in priority. What I mean by this is generosity planned into my budget? Or do I only give if I have the quote-unquote extra, the elusive extra, right? Like, if I have a little bit of extra at the end of the month, yeah, then I give. Yeah, whoever has extra, right? Like, we all spend to the level of our income. That's just the way we work. If you don't plan generosity into your budget, it won't happen. Do you have a spot in your finances when you pay your bills, when you do whatever, when you buy your groceries, do you have a place where you're saying, I'm setting aside this amount of money to be generous with, whether that be giving to the church, whether that be, you know, having to give to some nonprofit organization that I support, whether that's just having some extra funds in case a friend or a coworker needs some help this week or this month, maybe they hit a hard patch and they need a little something. Do I have money in my budget set aside, planned ahead of time? Am I prioritizing in my finances the idea of generosity? That allows me to give freely when I do that. Fourth thing, giving freely means in sacrifice. In sacrifice. Am I willing to do without in order to be generous to others? Sometimes giving freely means I'm going to give up this so that I can take that and give it to them. And I'm willing to sacrifice something in order to be generous to somebody else. That's giving freely of what I have, right? So it says here, one gives freely yet grows all the richer. Grows richer. What's that mean, richer? Well, I think we can look throughout God's word and see that that actually happens in two ways. Financially and spiritually. Now, we just kind of lay out the ground here. If you're new to Harvest, we don't preach prosperity gospel, and if you give a dollar, you're gonna automatically get 10, and just, you know, do the math, and we don't play that game, okay? The Bible doesn't ever say that, but the Bible does say that God will bless those who are generous. It does say that, all right? Because God blesses obedience, and when you're obedient to his word in giving, he blesses you, and because he wants to invest his resources where they're gonna best be stewarded. Right? If he knows you're going to be a generous person, he's going to give you more to be generous with, right? Not necessarily to line your own pockets, okay? But he's going to give you more so you can continue to steward it well and be generous as he is. If I give sacrificially, and listen, think about this. I just thought about this week. If I'm willing to give freely and sacrificially, and my needs are still met at the end of the day or the week or the month, guess what? That can only happen if I grow richer, right? Because I gave stuff away and I still had what I needed to pay everything I needed to pay. That means God had to put more in so that I could pay the stuff, right? And so just by the fact of God providing for us as we're generous, we're growing financially richer in the midst of that. But it's not just that, it's also spiritually richer. You see, giving teaches my heart to trust the Lord. Every time I give generously and I give a gift, I'm trusting God that God, whatever I just gave, you're going to take care of me and I'm not going to be without and you're going to handle it. And it teaches my heart to trust in the Lord, not in myself, not in my money, not in my stuff, but to trust him. And as I trust him more, I grow richer in sanctification. I grow richer in my relationship with God. One gives freely and grows richer. But on the flip side of that, it says the one who withholds what he should give, interesting choice of word. Did you catch that? Withholds what he should give. You see, for God's people, there's an expectation from God that we're going to be givers. It's something we should do because we're followers of Jesus. John 13:34 says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are to love one another. Jesus says, listen, I loved you, now you go love others. How did Jesus love us? He gave the ultimate sacrifice. He gave himself. He gave his life for us. That's the way he loved us. Came, born as a baby, lived a sinless life, died on the cross, a sinner's death, not for his sin, for your sin, for my sin. He gave everything. He says, now go love like that. Go love and be givers. It's an expectation that God has of us. There's a responsibility given to us. In Galatians 6:10, it says, so then, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. God has charged us, whenever we have opportunity, to do good to others. And a lot of times, that's being generous with money, with our time, with our resources, with whatever we have. And even furthermore, Jesus really ups the ante in Matthew, and he actually says, you know, we even have an obligation to give. In Matthew 25, he's teaching, and he says there's two groups of people. In the end, when I come back and when all the judgment happens, there's going to be two groups of people. And in chapter 25, verse 40, he says to the first group, and the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. In other words, as you give generously to others, it's like you're giving to the Lord. But then he gets a little bit further down, verse 45 and 46, and he says, then he will answer them, a different group, saying, truly I say to you, as you do not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. He says, listen, if you're a follower of mine, you have an obligation to give to the least of these. And when you do, it's like you're giving to me, giving to the Lord. Right? And so the proverb says, he who withholds what he should give suffers want. How does he suffer want? Well, first, financially. When I withhold my wealth from God, God withholds his wealth from me. Because he knows I can't be trusted with it. I can't be trusted to steward it well and be generous, and he's not going to give me more. No matter what I have, I will always want more. Anybody else see that going around? See that in our culture at all? We always want more, right? I want more. I want more. I want more. No matter what I have, I want more. And we will always have a heart that wants more if our heart is set on our own desires and not the desires of Jesus. The desires to be generous. And then spiritually, that just feeds this, the greed and cultivates a heart in me of discontentment, which leads me to worship wealth rather than God. Because I'm not willing to give and I always want more, it creates this heart of discontentment that nothing's ever good enough. And I just continue to worship wealth instead of worshiping God. That's how we suffer want. Many of you know I've told several stories over the last year about Ava, our youngest daughter, and her adoption. But this one just fits really well here. So when we first started talking about adoption, we originally wanted to do international adoption. We were kind of looking at different countries and things, and several things happened that just didn't work out. And so we said, okay, we'll do a domestic infant adoption. And so we started walking through that process. And if you don't know the process, it kind of goes like this. You have to go in and do an interview with the agency. You have to go through some training. You have to do a background check. They have to come do a home study to make sure that you're, you know, fit parents and so forth. And then you finally create a profile book, which is like a book about your family and why you want to adopt and all that kind of stuff. And they show these profile books to all the expectant mothers who are looking to place their baby into an adoption. And they go through all the books, and then they choose who they're going to give their baby to, okay? And so that process, once you create the books, that's when the real process kind of starts. And that usually takes anywhere from 6 to 12 months after they start looking at books to for you to be chosen by somebody. And so all that's, we kind of get started on the process. And the whole thing with this particular way we were doing it was about $35,000 for this adoption. We did not have $35,000, okay? We had some money in savings. We had saved up some over the years. We had a little bit, but we didn't have that. And we knew that up front. So as soon as we started looking at this, all right, we're going to have to start, you know, saving money, and we're going to start doing some fundraising, and we started looking at grants and all that kind of stuff. And so we started working to try to build up, because you have to pay the first payment, which is half, around $17,000, when you finish your home study and they start showing your profile books. Okay, so we had about 6 months to kind of get all that together. So we did. So 6 months, we were fundraising, blah, 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 all this stuff. And came time for the first payment, and we had just enough for the $17,000. And so we pay it in, and they start showing the profile books. And I'm like, all right, great. So now we've got another 6 months to 12 months to raise, you know, to get the next $17,000 together. So you have to pay the final payment when you take the baby home from the hospital. So for us, God's funny sometimes. They start showing our profile books. And in 2 weeks, we got a phone call that a mother had selected us. Not only had a mother selected us in 2 weeks, she was due the next week. So we now had 1 week to prepare for a baby, get the room ready, and somehow come up with $17,000. So we started praying, of course, right? Like on our face all the time. Lord, what are you going to do? How's this going to work? And thankfully, our church rallied around us and they did some fundraising for us. We had friends and family that helped kick in some money. We actually did have a grant or two come through for us. We looked at adoption loans and stuff. But when it was all said and done, at the end of that week, God had provided $17,000. Right? We grew richer. When we were willing to give, God kicks in what has to happen, and we were able to do it. And within 6 months of bringing Ava home from the hospital, we had pretty much our entire savings that we had spent restored. When you give generously, God takes care of it, and you grow richer. Not to mention, we got a beautiful little baby girl in our family, which makes us immensely richer. Right? This is just one testimony. I could tell you multiple stories just from our lives. I'm sure others in this room could tell you stories how when you step up with a heart that is generous, as God is generous, he comes and he makes it more than you could ever imagine. I always reap when I give from my heart. That's what God promises. I'll always reap. I'll never be without. I'll never be in want. I might not have everything I want, but I'll never be without. Because I always reap when I give from my heart. Here's the third thing. Look at, if you're still, flip over a couple chapters to chapter 21. Go right, just a couple pages in your Bible there. Chapter 21, verse 13. And we're also going to do chapter 22, verse 9. So just kind of be right there and we'll hit both of those here. Here's the next two verses. I love hearing those pages turn in your Bibles. That's awesome. Proverbs 21, verse 13. Whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered. Then go one more. Chapter 22, verse 9. Probably next page or two over. Whoever has a bountiful eye will be blessed, for he shares his bread with the poor. Here's the third thing this morning. Giving promises me hope. Giving promises me hope. We have two promises back to back here in Proverbs related to giving. The first promise is this. This paraphrase, this is Micah's translation, okay? If you don't give, you won't get. That's the first promise from the Lord. If you don't give, you won't get, right? He says, if you close your ear to the cry of the poor, closing your ear, think about that, like literally closing your ear. You're choosing not to hear, not to listen. You're choosing to ignore those that are in need. He says, if you do that, one day you yourself will call out and not be answered. We all have seasons in our own life where we hit points of need, right? Where we need somebody else to come alongside us and help us. None of us are immune from that. Maybe it's not financially for you, but maybe it's spiritually. There will come a point where you're going to need too. And if you're not willing to help and bless and give generously to those in need, God says, I'm not going to answer you when you call out. It's a hard promise. That's why I'm even more thankful for the promise in the next verse. All right, 22, verse 9, promise number 2 says this, if you give, you will get. All right, that's what he promises. If you give, you will get. It says here, he who has a bountiful eye. Some of your translations might actually say he who is generous. All right, that's what it means. A bountiful eye means someone who is generous towards others. It says that they will be blessed, again, physically and spiritually, just like we talked about in the last point. And then I love this part. He says, he will be blessed for he shares his bread with the poor. That's a great word right there. If you're going to share something with someone, first you have to have something, right? You can't share something that you don't have already. Are you tracking with me? So this is a great moment right here in the promise of God about giving and withholding, all this other kind of stuff. Just an important corrective, because some people in some churches, it's gotten to the point where they're like, if you're going to really be holy, if you're going to really be with God, then you got to give everything away. I mean, like, you can't have anything. You can't have anything nice. It's just, you got to give it all. Give, 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 give. God's word doesn't say that either, right? Let's not try to go to one end or the other of the spectrum. Let's just kind of stay in the middle where God's word is. And there are lots of people in God's word who he called pillars of the faith, who he made very wealthy. Some of the dudes in the Bible, man, like, they would put all of us to shame, right? Like, they had some stuff, and it's okay. It's okay to have, as long as the stuff you have doesn't have you, right? As long as your heart's not there, as long as your heart is with the Lord, it's okay to have, because he calls us to share, and you can't share if you don't have something to share, right? So as God blesses, it's not something that we have to give everything away and that we have to be poor ourselves and we don't have to have anything. It doesn't say that. It just says that when we have, we need to be generous to those who don't. That's what God's saying, right? He says we need to share with others. I'm expected to share. It's not just about me. It's about we, right? It's about letting God work through us. Several years ago, I was just fresh out of college, and I found this website that I thought was super interesting. So I graduated college. I was a teacher, was my first career. And so I was, you know, fresh out of college, beginning teacher salary, you know, got monthly bills, all the stuff, and, you know, all the student loans and all that kind of jazz. And so, like, I definitely did not think of myself as wealthy, okay? I would not have pegged myself as rich at that point in my life. And in fact, I probably would put myself on the other end of the spectrum if we'd been having that conversation with 22-year-old Micah, okay? But as I was going through and processing all that and learning how to pay my own bills and do my own thing and whatever, I found this website. It's called globalrichlist.com. Globalrichlist.com. It's a really interesting site. And what you do is you can go and you can actually put your income into this box in U.S. dollars and hit go, and it will tell you where you rank in the world's wealth in terms of rich and poor. So I just kind of put some abstract numbers in here. I have no idea where your financial situation is, but I looked it up. The median average income in America, okay? The median, the average is in America is $31,000 per person, okay? $31,000 a year, right? So I just start with that. Let's just start with the median. So I put that in. If you make $31,000 a year, you are in the top 1.12% of the richest people in the world. Let me say that again. I know you, that probably didn't process there for a moment, okay? You're in the top 1.12% of the richest people in the world at $31,000 a year. Let's say you have two people in your house, both making $31,000 a year. So now you're up to $62,000 in the household, right? Making $62,000, you're now in the top 0.17% of the richest people in the world. Less than a 20th of a percent. So then I was just curious, like, so like, how little do you have to make to like get down on the list, right? Let's just make sure they're not like fudging on the numbers here, right? So I said, let's just go with like $1,000. Let's say if you just made $1,000 for the year. I think most of us could probably go on any street corner in St. Louis and beg for money and make $1,000 a year, right? Or if you apply for government assistance, you get more than $1,000 a year. So let's just say you make $1,000 a year, U.S. dollars, you're still in the top 58% of the richest people in the world. You're still richer than over half of the people on the globe at $1,000 a year. So, needless to say, straight out of college, feeling not too great about my little piddly teacher salary, I read that and it completely changed my understanding of what the Bible talks about when it talks about rich and poor. Just by the fact that we live in America makes us some of the richest people in the world. And I'm not saying this to give you a guilt trip in any way. I just told you it's okay to have stuff. God doesn't say you can't have. This is not a guilt trip. I'm just helping us to open our eyes and understand. For some of us who might look at our situation and say, man, I'm not rich. I'm not in that category. I'm in the other category, maybe, but I'm not. When we take it to a God-sized perspective, it's a little bit different, isn't it? And God's word calls us who have much to give and be generous to those who don't. And I am reassured when I give from the heart. Not only does he call us to give, he says, if you give, I'll take care of you. If you give, you will get. If you give, you will reap. Right? Like, don't worry about the money. Just get your heart right with me and be generous as I am generous, and I'll take care of you. Right? Just be willing to be givers. I'm reassured by the promises of God's word that it's okay to give from the heart. Last verse I want to hit this morning real quick. Proverbs 19:17. So go back here just a couple chapters. Proverbs 19, verse 17. This is my favorite verse of the whole day. It says, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. That's such a great verse. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. Here's the last point this morning. Giving treats my Lord with honor. Giving treats my Lord with honor. He says, if you're generous to the poor, in other words, to those in need, to the least of these, right? Which I think we just established who that is and who that isn't, okay? So if we're willing to give and be generous over and over and over, the Bible calls us to that. And we're going to call that this morning, we're going to call that horizontal generosity, okay? When you're giving to others, other humans, other people, that's horizontal generosity. You're giving to others that are like you. You tracking with me? God says, when you do that, when you're horizontally generous, it's like you're lending to the Lord. Now, I had to think about that for a second because I'm pretty sure God doesn't need a loan. Can we agree on that this morning? Right? Like, God doesn't need to borrow money from me or from you, or like, he doesn't need us to lend him anything. I don't think that's what he's saying. I think that what he's saying is, listen, when you're horizontally generous, I'll take that debt and pay it back. They don't have to pay it back. You don't have to expect somebody else to pay it back to you. I'm good for it. I'll take it on me. It's like when you're giving horizontally, you're actually giving vertically. You're giving vertically to the Lord, and he is saying, I've got you. Right? When you're generous to others, you cannot be vertically generous if you are not horizontally generous. You can't be, we all think we want to be vertically generous. Like we all want to, yeah, I want to give to the Lord, man. Like I'm with the Lord. You can't be vertically generous if you're not willing to be horizontally generous. Right? God connects the two. He says they're one and the same. And he says, listen, if you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord, and he will repay. He will repay. The Lord himself will take care of you. And listen, he's good for it, right? Like, God, if anybody's good for it, he's good for it. Like, we put our money in so many other things. We put it in the stock market. Yeah, you may or may not get that back, right? But you lend to the Lord, he's good for it. And he will repay. And he's glad to do it, right? He would rather give to you and pay back to you than any than your employer, than anybody. Like, the Lord loves that. He's good for it, and he's glad to do it, and he is a generous, generous giver. More than Santa Claus, all right? God's generous, man. And he wants to be generous to us if we'll be generous first. Now, I'm just going to close this morning with this. I just want to do a little confession. Can we just be honest in church this morning? Can the pastor be honest in church this morning? If I confess some things to you this morning, I kind of struggle sometimes with the horizontal giving to just the person I don't know. Like, you know, the person on the street corner or whatever that's asking for money for this, that. I struggle with that. So I have some conflict in me over that at times. And I just kind of was walking through some of my thinking. A lot of times, first of all, I'll see the need, but often I kind of make excuses. Like, I'm too busy. I don't have time to stop for that. Or I don't have any cash on me at the moment. I can't go get cash or whatever. Like, I make excuses on why I can ignore that need in front of me. And then secondly, my mind starts to rationalize why it's okay that I ignore the need. Because, you know, they might go use it for drugs. Or, you know, they might be, it might be a scam and they don't really need the money. Or, like, I just saw a hiring sign down at McDonald's. Like, they could go get a job. Like, why do I got to give them my money? And I start doing all this rationalization. Anybody else tracking with me? Don't leave me up here, okay? All right. So, like, I start going through all these things in my head. And then thirdly, eventually you see it so often, it's easy to just kind of become immune to it, right? Where we almost don't see it anymore. And at various times, I have felt really convicted about this issue because I know there's been times where the Lord has pressed on me to give and I didn't because of this line of thinking. And it was several years ago that we were in a Bible study one time and we were having a discussion about this topic. And through the course of that discussion, I came to understand and realize something new about this whole idea of giving, especially to the least of these and to the poor and so forth in these kind of situations. If I feel led by the Holy Spirit to give, I better give and let the Lord worry about the consequences. I will not be responsible for what they do with the money. I will be responsible for what I did when he told me to give. They'll be accountable for what they do with it. I'll be accountable for my obedience or disobedience to the Lord. And at some point, we just have to get to the place where we're like, I'm not giving to them, I'm giving to God. And whatever happens, happens, and the Lord will repay both me and them for how they handle what they do with that, right? And so I just want to share that with you, just from my own heart. I still don't have that perfect. I still don't have that nailed. There's still times where I miss that. But I'm just being honest this morning. That's a thing that, like, I want to struggle with, and I want to continue to struggle with. I don't want to just keep closing my eyes and closing my ears and turning the other way when God's calling me to be generous. I hope that you feel the same way. Because I am revering my Lord when I give from my heart. I'm giving reverence, I'm giving honor, I'm giving the respect that is due to God when I give from my heart the way that he's told me to. Which brings me back to the beginning statement. How I give reveals my heart towards the Lord. How I give reveals my heart towards the Lord. That's what it's all about. It's not about the gift. It's not about the amount. It's about the heart, the motive behind it. And this morning, I'm hoping and I'm believing that all of us here today that we want to glorify the Lord, that we want to be generous in our hearts in various ways. And as we move into this Christmas season, I think this is just a great time for us to really nail that down and just get serious about being generous, as Chris said earlier, because God was generous to us. He sent and gave his only son to be born in this world for us. And we should respond with generous hearts. So, here's what we're starting today here at Harvest. We have two opportunities for you to get involved with this Christmas season in terms of generosity, okay? Both of these are on a little handout that you received when you got your sermon notes. There should have been a little half-page handout there. I'm just going to kind of hit the high points. If you have other questions, we'll be happy to answer those for you as well. The first project is this. We are going to be partnering. Actually, it wasn't even us. Our kids class, our K through fifth grade class, has taken on a project. They've already been working on it for like 2 weeks now. And they're partnering with a Harvest Bible Chapel in Larumu Town, Kenya, okay, one of our plants over there in Africa, to provide them with Swahili Bibles that they are then going to take out into the community and hand out as Christmas gifts to people in their community who don't have Bibles, and then invite them to church, okay? And they can purchase a Swahili Bible in Kenya for 10 American dollars. That's cheaper than we can get most English Bibles here, right? And so the kids have already been working to raise money. Our girls have been doing extra chores for 2 weeks, trying to raise their money so they can help buy these Bibles for this church in Kenya. And so, but we want to open that up to the entire church. So if you would like to just give some funds towards helping purchase more Bibles for this church in Kenya, we would love for you to do that. If you have a child in that K through fifth grade range, you can just send the money with them into their classroom and let them get a bigger amount in there and let them really feel good about that. If you don't have a child in there, you can give it in our normal offering buckets each week. Just make sure you put it in an envelope and mark it Kenya so we know where it's going, okay? You can just drop that in the offering bucket in the next couple weeks. We're going to take money through Sunday, December 3rd. For that particular offering. So that gives you 2 weeks to do that, okay? Second opportunity is a little bit more local for us, and this is for us as a church, more for us as adults. We have partnered with a group here in St. Louis called One Heart Ministries. One Heart Ministries, their whole thing is that they go and they help and they train and they equip Christian families to go and foster kids out of the Missouri foster care program. So these kids who have struggled and have had a lot of trauma and just a lot of hurt in their lives can be placed into a Christian family where they can finally see the love of Jesus Christ, right? And they are the only, to my knowledge, they're the only faith-based group in the St. Louis area providing this type of foster care training. And so they have tons of families that they work with that have foster kids, and so we have partnered with them to help buy some Christmas presents for some of the foster kids who have come through their program. Okay, and so on the back here, on the tree in the back of the worship center, we have 35 kids represented by those little hearts, and they each have a little gift request on there. Most of them are $25 or less, and we would love for you to partner with us in helping buy Christmas presents for these foster kids, make sure that they have something so that they know that, that God loves them and that someone loves them here on this earth as well. And so as you leave today, if you'd like to get involved with that, you can go back there, just pick whichever one you want. If you want to take one or two or three, whatever you want to do. And then there's a sheet on the table. Just write your name next to the kid that you are going to buy a present for so that we know who's got who. And then purchase the present. Put it in a gift bag, not a wrapped present, in a gift bag, please, so that the workers at One Heart can make sure everything gets to the right places. And bring that back with the tag by December 3rd. So again, you got 2 weeks to purchase those presents, bring them back wrapped, and you can just bring them right back here to the worship center, and we'll collect them and then get them delivered over to One Heart so the kids can have their presents in time for Christmas, okay? So I'd love for everybody to get involved in one or both of those. Man, I know that we already have a generous church. You guys have been so generous towards us as a church, but now we want to also be generous towards others outside of our church and show the love of Christ beyond our own walls. And so please partner with us on this. And if you have any questions, would love to answer those for you, and I'll be around. And Gail is leading our One Heart donation, so she'll be back there. If you have any questions, you can talk to her as well, okay? Why don't you stand with me? I'm going to pray. We're going to sing one chorus here as we close today together. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much, Lord, for this time to come and to gather, to look into your word. Lord, maybe some hard things this morning, Lord, for some of our hearts when it comes to giving and generosity, Lord, but things that we need. And Lord, I do believe that that we who are followers of Christ, Lord, that we really do want to follow you and be obedient to you and to your word. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would take it today and just make it really relevant and fit, Lord, to where we're at and help us know how to apply this correctly. God, we thank you, Lord, that you are so abundantly generous to us in every way. Lord, we are blessed. We are blessed beyond measure. We have so much to praise you for. So, Lord, now just help us to open our hearts, Lord, to be generous as you are generous and to show your love towards others through heartfelt giving this Christmas season. Lord, we don't have much to give, but what we have, we give to you. Lord, take our offerings and use them well. In Christ's name we pray.